pray, O Lord, that you would enlighten our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to the message of your holy word, that we would hear it, we would grasp it, and hold firm to it by faith. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I am sure you have heard the adage, a picture is worth a thousand words, popularly attributed to Confucius, but it may have been much more recent origin than Confucius. It is believed that the modern use of this phrase stems from an article by Fred R. Barnard in an advertising trade journal in 1921 promoting the use of images in advertisements. In 1921, boy, we've come a long way, baby. Sometimes when we read scripture, we paint a picture in our minds of what the narrative that we just read looks like. The whole idea of taking something which is written and putting it on a movie screen and what that must look like is pretty basic to human nature. You do it all the time. Not just in scripture, but other stories we read, we kind of fill in the background. We paint what it looked like. Was there forest, trees, grass? What was it looking like as this story is narrated? Here in our passage this morning, we hear about John the Baptist's ministry. What images come to your mind as you think about John the Baptist? I can remember growing up, I saw the TV series Jesus of Nazareth. Well over 40 years ago, it came out in 1977. And what comes to my mind is this picture of John the Baptist in that movie. And John the Baptist was just yelling all the time. You're going to hear it. You brood of vipers. While I appreciated many of the aspects of the series, I think the makers of the movie did a disservice to the character of John the Baptist in making him out to be a yelling crank and a curmudgeon. This morning, we want to look at the message and ministry of John the Baptist from Luke 3. So my first point is John's ministry in history. Luke mentions who was ruling politically in detail in Luke 3:1, mentioning Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, and other individuals, and what region they were governing at the time. Luke is really mirroring what is going on throughout the Old Testament prophets. As the prophet begins his message, he is often identified with his prophetic ministry, what king was ruling in Israel or in Judah. Luke does the same thing with John the Baptist. And Luke's point is that this is real history. It really happened. Since this is the background information of the beginning of John the Baptist's ministry. Luke 3:2 says that during this time that political and religious leaders were ruling in their respective areas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. John's ministry is so specific that it can be dated. The 15th year of the reign of Tiberius can be assigned a date of 26 AD. This mention of who was ruling when the word of the Lord came to a prophet is a reminder that John the Baptist stands in the long line of God's prophets throughout the Old Testament. Even though he's mentioned here in the New Testament, he came before Jesus and thus is still in the Old Testament era. Who was ruling at the time underscores the reality of this was happening in real time in history. John delivered the word of the eternal king. The word of God came to John, and his message was not a myth or a legend, but it was the very word of a living God. It brings me to my second point, and that is John's message. Luke 3:3 says this, and he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The call to repentance was a foundational message and summary of John's preaching, the divinely given message of the prophets. The word repentance is the Greek word metanoia, which means a change of mind and heart and a reversal and turnaround in the direction of one's life. Repentance includes turning away from sin and toward God with faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His saving work for us. Repentance along with faith in Jesus Christ are the twin elements of conversion to Christ. But faith and repentance are also the lifetime disciplines of the Christian throughout our lives, because a Christian believer continues to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil until we take our last breath. John's baptism prefigured and foreshadowed Christ being baptized by John, and then Christian baptism as prescribed by our Lord Himself in Matthew 28. John is a figure of the law in that in the law he denounced sin. But John and the law of God pointed to Jesus as the one who came to remit and put away our sins. In Luke 3, 4 through 6, we have a quote from Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. And it is important to pay special attention whenever the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament, and it is quoted often. For the Old Testament is the foundation for the New Testament. Let us note how Luke and the other gospel writers apply the words of Isaiah to John in his proclamation of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah had spoken of the voice of one preparing the way for Yahweh, Jehovah God, to come. And Luke applies this to the coming of the Lord Jesus, thus clearly affirming the full deity of Jesus. Jesus is Jehovah God come in the flesh. Within this quote, we see that John the Baptist ascribes to himself the voice of one in the wilderness telling the people to prepare the way for the Lord. And he identifies himself as such in John 1:23. John both proclaimed the good news of salvation through the Messiah to come, but he also came baptizing people in preparation for the Messiah, proclaiming that the Jewish people needed to be baptized was indeed very controversial during the time of John's ministry. It was controversial for this very point, because up to that time, it was Gentiles who were baptized as part of their conversion to Judaism. In those days, when a Gentile wanted to leave his sinful ways and become a Jew, he stated his desire to the local Jewish community, most likely the Jewish synagogue and the leaders, promising to abide by the Old Testament law. Furthermore, his two-stage conversion process also included, number one, being circumcised, and number two, being baptized. And it was only after that point that he was considered a Jew. With that in mind, we see that the baptism of John was building on this model of baptism, except John was saying all of Israel needed to be baptized, and thus were in need of cleansing from their sins just as much as Gentiles were. This is where John's message becomes offensive to some Jews' mentality and thinking. They could have easily have said in their mind, Gentiles need to be baptized, not us. We're already the people of God. But the squeaky, clean, Orthodox Jews who already believed and obeyed the law, why did they need to be baptized? There is more than just Jews who have this line of thinking. I think this impacts many people's thinking, that I'm not all that bad. I'm basically a good person. The offense of the cross of the Christian gospel and the Christian message actually says, no, we're actually not good people. We are sinners. And we constantly go against God's moral will and revelation of His law. This makes us return to the basics of the gospel, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 and 6:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are sinners in need of God's forgiveness. We are beggars in need of the bread of life. We are naked in need of being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are spiritually dead in need of life-giving power of Jesus Christ, who is our life. The Messianic kingdom was at hand, and the Jewish people had to prepare for the coming of Messiah, and they did so by repenting of their sins and being baptized. Many of the Jews did respond to John's message of repentance and were baptized in the Jordan River. Just as one would prepare the roads for a king by clearing the obstacles and filling in the potholes, John, by his preaching, would prepare the way for the Lord Messiah. Luke 3:6 says that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And again, this points to the reality that Messiah would come, not only to bless Israel, but to illumine the whole world. Luke's emphasis on all flesh seeing the salvation of God points to the reality that Messiah has come for Jew and Gentile alike and would be included in God's kingdom, but only through faith in Jesus as Messiah and Lord of the whole world. Believing in the Lord Christ was necessary for our salvation and inclusion in God's kingdom. In Luke 3:7-9, the text says this, "So he began saying to the crowds who were going out to him to be baptized by him, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees, so every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." It is here that John the Baptist gets this reputation of the stern prophet. He gives a stern warning which is directed to all those who claim Abraham as their father, but will not embrace Jesus as their Messiah, the one who was announced as the promised Messiah by John. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Tracing your lineage to Abraham will not deliver you from God's righteous judgment if he or she does not cling to Jesus as Lord. While parents and ancestors can show us a good, godly example of faith in the Lord, one's family tree will not make one worthy to enter God's kingdom. And each person in every generation must bear fruit worthy of repentance. The stones that John makes reference to is symbolic of the Gentiles who would become children of Abraham through faith in Christ. John preached the word of the Lord and the coming of God's kingdom through trusting in Jesus Christ as Messiah. May we heed John's message and receive it not as the word of a man, but as it actually is, the very word of a living God himself. Let us pray. Almighty God, through John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, you proclaim salvation. Now grant that we may know this salvation and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.